Well, the beautiful part about doing all those appraisals is that when two things happen, this idea of having Google Maps with Street View, okay, and a site like Country Life Blogspot, which both came online about late fall in 2007, I'm telling you, my toes curled. I got excited. I was like, I don't have to get in a car or, you know, go see a property. I can look at it. I was looking at houses in Virginia, looking at houses in North Carolina just right there on the computer. It was like a whole new world of investing opened up, which obviously is still available, even more readily available now.
Yeah.
So the thing about looking at a deal was I had data sources that allowed me to look at information around the country because of my appraisal background. It wasn't something that the average person could do the way that we as appraisers can do because of the sources that we have. But when we take the advent that we're typically used to going to a property and seeing it, and now we can fast forward it all and do it right in front of a computer, we can go from doing, you know, what would be two houses in a day to looking at 30, 40, 50 houses in a day. And we already know, Tim, from both of us building our real estate investing businesses, in order to get, okay, two good deals a week, okay, you're going to have to backload that. You're going to have to look, you're going to have to make offers on at least 20 properties to get those two, and you're going to have to look at least anywhere between 60 to 80 to make the 20 offers to get the two deals.
You're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast, powered by Investor Comps. I'm Tim Winders. I'll be hosting this session, and I'm always excited to have my good friend, Mark. You can call him MJ Jackson. How are you doing today, Mark?
Absolutely outstanding, Tim. Beautiful, bright, sunny day out here in Utah, just outside Salt Lake City. Beautiful little area. It's only about the third time I've been out here, but it is absolutely positively gorgeous. How about you?
You're in an RV. You can always share that. I'm in Nevada near the California border, not far from Death Valley. So we're having fun. You know, we're probably going to get to a place where people say, guess where Mark and Tim are today? So anyway, listen, I want to dive right in, Mark, because we've got a lot of stuff to cover here. And I don't want to, we could chit chat for a long time. I know you and I, we can do that. But today we're going to do a little bit of a history lesson, but then we're going to bring us up to not only the current day, but also kind of the future real quickly. Mm-hmm. And the topic is REOs and the foreclosure market and things that have gone on. And so what I want to start to do is I'm just want to ask you to back up. And I'm going to share a little bit about it. You're going to share a good bit about it. Back up and tell us, maybe for the new person, maybe give a quick overview about REOs, but then also what it was like 10 years ago, and then we'll go 15 years ago, for people that were attempting to do business in this market. We're going to date ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to date ourselves. You know, it's really unique because REOs, it's an acronym. It's real estate owned. And it's a phrasing that the banks use, the traditional banks. What it means is that they have real estate owned assets on the books. Now, when the bank owns real estate, what happens is they have to pay the property taxes, the homeowner association fees, they have to cut grass. That's not earning money the way they typically do by lending and earning interest. Those are assets. So we're trying to get those real estate owned properties sold at a discount off the books. That's the modus operandi. The other thing that goes deeper into this is the banking system. It doesn't fully apply now, but prior to the mortgage meltdown in 2008, it was required that the banks had to keep a 10% cash capital reserve over the full amount of REO property they had on the book. So just let's say if they had, okay, $1 million worth of real estate, they had to keep 10% of that in cash, or $100,000 in cash. So we know that they hold a lot more real estate than that. So as an example, in 2009, Bank of America took a cash infusion of $1.5 billion to maintain their cash capital reserves, because at that time they had bought Countrywide Mortgage, and Countrywide just imploded. So they're foreclosing, bringing all these assets on the books. And the Federal Reserve then said, well, for a couple of these major banks, Bank of America being one, we're going to waive the capital reserves to take the pressure off the banks to have to sell all these REO properties. Anyway, the idea is that the bank didn't want to just to sell these things for like pennies on the dollar. They still wanted to make some profit on it. But by holding so many assets and having to keep the cash cap reserve, those two just didn't go together. So that happened in 2009. But the beauty of it, going back just a little bit before that, in 2007, 2006, 2005, the idea of actually identifying different websites that were online that were listing all of their REO, all their foreclosed properties, started to become more prevalent. I had a good friend I was doing business with, and in the late fall of 2007, he shared with me a website called countrywideblogspot.com. And on this site, it was put together by an individual, and it listed over 15,000 houses in one place in all the states that Countrywide had as foreclosures they were selling. And I mean, the discounts were just beautiful. You're talking about buying houses 20, 25, 30 cents on the dollar that you could easily wholesale just by marketing them up a little bit. And in a number of cases, they were properties that were almost, not entirely, but almost move-in ready. So it was just a windfall of real estate to be able to do transactions on, especially using investor comps. Because regardless of the market area these properties were in, you could go in, evaluate those deals, okay, and then determine how much you could actually remarket it for, because they were already at a discount. It's not like it is now. The market has changed over 10 years. We know these are cycles. There's much less margin in a lot of the bank-owned deals now because of the removal of the capital reserves, stuff like that. That's another conversation. But I just wanted to give some background as to how this came about, the different little ways that we actually discovered finding some of these online, and then what you could do with them, double closing. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get deeper into conversation. But I love and still love going online and finding all these different resources to get REO property to do transactions on.
Right. You know, one of the things we're really talking about here, you talk to so many investors, so many people that want to get started in real estate, so many people that are, you know, maybe early on in their business, maybe even mature, that are wanting to get more momentum in their business. And it's interesting, you know, I've talked to a lot of them also, and there's really two things that usually come up with that might be slowing them down. We'll use that term. One, they want more deals. Where can I find more deals? And then number two is the funding. Where do I get the funding? And that's a topic for another call, probably coming up soon. But right now we're talking about getting deals. And I want to tell something quick, you and I, before we came online here. Had to be around 2002. So we're going to back up just a little bit.
A little bit more,
We were getting our business started. You and I were talking about a lot of things then. I think I took you to golf about that time to get information from you about the HUD.
Evaluation side.
That's right. So we need to tell that story at some point and capture it. But I remember I was so hungry to get deals, and I had heard that REOs and pre-foreclosures were two areas that you could kind of get deals. And so this is more pre-foreclosure, but it kind of relates to what we're talking about, because what we're really wanting to do is we're wanting to educate the listeners on what has happened in the last 15 years or so. And then we're going to shortly, they need to stick around to the end of this call, we're going to kind of give them a solution that should excite them, because it'll basically show them how they don't have to do a lot of the stuff we did. I remember when I was looking for pre-foreclosures, again, related but a little bit different than what we're about, I would go to the newspapers, because in Georgia where we were, they had, you know, 28 days before they posted them, and then they were going to foreclosure and things like that. And so I would be searching through the newspapers, and I hired an assistant. We would mail to them. And anyway, we were trying to buy pre-foreclosures. And then I remember finding out that that some of those law firms had websites. So it's kind of like the discovery you had. All of a sudden, I didn't have to wait for the newspaper to come out. I could go to the law firm websites. And then I started realizing, kind of did, that some of those banks that were listing them out, they started having websites. So all of this was coming together for me. This was kind of like the internet had gone through its dip, and it was starting to come into its own, and information was starting to become available. And I don't want us to get off track, but that's one of the things that made investor comps even possible, correct?
It really did, because no one, even going back to my appraisal career, I mean, as appraisers, we had access to data, but mainly it was on on boards, or what's the right name for the internet back
forums before it was forums
and phrases used to call for some type of board, but that's where we download our information. But it wasn't, you know, as fluid, it wasn't nearly as fluid a concept of being, you just logged into one little site and had a reader board, you could pull specific data down. It wasn't populated with a map and everything like we did with investor comps we launched in 2006, which made it so much easier for people to just put an address, get back the data they needed, the sales data, the square footage, the room counts, the bathrooms, whether it was on a golf lot, whether it was in a lake, because they could see the map of where the property was. They could actually see the mortgage history. And all this data is now still available, but it's even a more dynamic, more fluid format where you can actually adjust the comparables by square footage, so you can actually hone in really, really tight. But you're right, Tim, that transition from hard copy newspapers, maybe some of the newspapers' websites, and maybe some of the attorneys' websites, they were just bored. They weren't this compilation of information that really, really let you know that you could identify a deal in market areas across the country, not just in, you know, east side of Atlanta. You're talking about being able to look at property across the entire country. And that's what makes doing REOs so beautiful for those people that are already doing business, but especially for those that are trying to get started, that want to get their, you know, get their foot in the door, get some momentum, and keep it going. Going online and knowing where to go, like a Countrywide blog spot for Countrywide back in fall of 2007. That site was really good for a long time, but it, like anything else, time changes, things update, and now we've moved into a different era of looking at and where to find REO property, and it's exciting.
Right. I want to pause you before we get to this different area, I'm gonna make some people wait a minute for this, because I still want to really establish how things change and how they change quickly, and how valuable information is. Okay, so. So we built real estate businesses back in this time frame, but I want to kind of talk to you about it, and I could actually speak to it a little bit also. But talk to us about how much time it took you to go out, and this was something that was moving online, to go out and gather the data, sift through the data, and then go through the process of getting a deal. Can you speak to that? And I don't know if you could give numbers or anything, but just maybe go through a few examples.
Well, So let me do it this way, because you realize, for everybody, I was a real estate appraiser for a number of years. That's what I actively did. So there's a dynamic to having two appraisal orders to do in a day. And you're going to drive 20 minutes to a location. You're actually going to go in, measure, and take pictures of the subject property. Then you're going to go look at the other comparables. Well, of course, there's some data and research that we were able to do using our boards, online boards, to pull in the comparables that we were going to take pictures of. And you always had to have more than three. You need to have probably half a dozen, because not every house is going to match, because you didn't have the advent of using a Google Maps to see what the house looked like before you went there. It was done on site. Well, the beautiful part about doing all those appraisals is that when two things happen, this idea of having Google Maps with Street View, okay, and a site like Countrywide Blogspot, which both came online about late fall in 2007, I'm telling you, my toes curled. I got excited. I was like, I don't have to get in a car or, you know, go see a property. I can look at it. I was looking at houses in Virginia, looking at houses in North Carolina, just right there on the computer. It was like a whole new world of investing opened up, which obviously is still available, even more readily available now.
Yeah.
So the thing about looking at a deal was, I had data sources that allowed me to look at information around the country because of my appraisal background. It wasn't something that the average person could do the way that we as appraisers can do, because of the sources that we have. But when we take the advent that we're typically used to going to a property and seeing it, and now we can fast forward that all and do it right in front of a computer, we can go from doing, you know, what would be two houses in a day to looking at 30, 40, 50 houses in a day. And we already know, Tim, from both of us building our real estate investing businesses, in order to get, okay, two good deals a week, okay, you're gonna have to backload that. You're gonna have to look. You're gonna have to make offers on at least 20 properties to get those two, and you're gonna have to look at least anywhere between 60 to 80 to make the 20 offers to get the two deals. Now imagine trying to do that in your own backyard, or putting the key in the car and driving and going looking at all those properties. That would take a substantial amount of time. It's something that we did, okay.
Yep.
And of course use this idea of maybe, and even now, we still have bird dogs out there that are actually on the ground, you know, calling bandit signs, putting bandit signs out, knocking on doors, stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with those practices. And frankly, we don't ever want to let them go, because it creates a more personal dynamic with potential motivated sellers, stuff like that. But REOs are here. They've been with us, and they're going to be with us. We're at a time where the percentage of REOs is still very, very low. It's below 5%. 5% of all mortgages on an annual basis potentially will go into foreclosure. And even at the height of the mortgage meltdown crisis, it only doubled. It only went from 5% to 10%. But that was a substantial dynamic, because our economy just wasn't used to it. But now, going through your question, we can do things much, much quicker. You can look at things in multiple market areas using the tools and resources and backing it up by taking that valuation-first approach and using Investor Comps Online as your tool to analyze not just the value of the property, but also looking at the buyers and sellers that are around the one that you're looking to buy, because you can find your cash buyers as well as your wholesale buyers, or even, I think we mentioned a little bit, we're going to do another call talking about some of that private money is something you can identify as well.
Yeah. So, all right. So I think maybe we've built the case for how bad it was for those younger folks that might be listening in. I mean, because I did what you talked about, man. I would get in the car when I first started doing real estate, and I would start, and I'd go driving around in subdivision looking for sale by owners and things like that. And you know what? There was some value to that, because I learned the areas, and I learned, you know, some things going on, and I walked right up to people's houses and talked to them. But I believe that you and I, you would have never reached where you are today if you did not embrace new technology. And every time that you had the opportunity for a new tool or a new piece of information that made life easier, I don't think any of us would have got we are in business today. So having said that, let's kind of fast forward. And because you heard this over and over again, and because I know you have seen the challenges, because you coach, you teach, you train, at the time of recording this, we're heading into our investor summit where we're going to have investors from around the country coming in. So this is a challenge. Getting these deals are a challenge. So tell us, Mark, about what you've put together, and then we're going to kind of, Shope can go get this resource, but if they choose to. If not, they could still get in their car and go drive around if they want to. We're okay with that. But tell us, you saw a problem and solved it. Tell us what we did.
So what I really found was that, even though that Countrywide Blogspot was really, really great for a long period of time, I'm talking about I used it almost exclusively, Tim, probably for a better part of 18 months. But even from when I started, it actually went from 15,000 up to 21,000. So not only were there deals coming off of there and being sold, there were still more properties coming on. Remember I said the foreclosure rate went from about 5% up to about 10%. But like anything else, it's going to have its cycle. So that the number of properties went from 21 down to 20, down to 19, down to about 15, down to about 11,000. It was still good, but the writing's on the wall that there's just not as much. And my mind said, well, wait a minute. There's more banks out there than just Countrywide that has a whole lot of foreclosures. Wells Fargo went through a real challenge. World Savings went through a real challenge. Tim,
are we back?
You just got to take a pause. You just got to take a pause because – we're traveling away from home, and we had an attendant that was doing her work, and I just felt like it was going to impact the sound quality of the content. So we took a pause, and now we're back. But the beautiful part about it is I remember
vacuuming in the background was not something we wanted a part of the podcast.
No. But it triggered a memory because it was Washington Mutual was that bank that had these nice little boutique offices. They expanded from the West Coast to the East Coast. They were actually in Metro Atlanta, and they flat out imploded because they were doing mortgages as well. They were like the TV commercials now you see where like Capital One says we're doing a cafes. Well, Washington Mutual was doing that back in 2006-2007. Here's the dynamic though. Ocwen, who is a loan services, OCWN, they brought on all the foreclosures that Washington Mutual had, or certainly a significant percentage of them. And that was... I'm going to just talk through the vacuum this time, okay?
Go ahead. I did hear that, by the way, so that's good. So this is real stuff, man. We're not sugarcoating anything.
Yeah, exactly. We get these podcasts done wherever we are. But here and sharing good information. So I started finding different sites like Ocwen, like BB&T, Regions Bank, Wachovia, which became Wells Fargo. And in Bank of America, and each one of these different lenders, City Mortgage, Chase, all of them have REO entities within their banking, and they're available online. So over time, they say there's something special about 7 and 21. And so I was able to identify tried and true, did business with each and every one of these different banks and entities, some of them being regional players that are wholesalers, that type of thing, but 21 of what I believe to be the absolute best places to identify REO or very deeply discounted properties and put them all together in one place so a person wouldn't have to go search or Hunt and Peck, they would know without a doubt. They could go to one source and start looking at all these different REO properties to build their real estate portfolio, evaluate them, just like we did back in 2007 with, you know, the appraisal knowledge as investor consultants being built, to be able to look at REOs and evaluate them all at the same time, do some little incorporation with Google Maps and using the reports to find the buyers, going out to the Secretary of State site, identifying the different LLCs, seeing how long they've been an entity, which is an important thing, because working with someone that's been in business since 2010 is better than one that maybe just got started in 2017. So you pick and choose which investment entities you want to work at. And using the REOs that you'll find using these 21 resources and investor comps, you can see where those other investors have been buying. You can see if they're right there in the neighborhood, how many other houses they have around the one that you're actually looking to wholesale, because you flat out know that now when you contact that person, you've got an asset right where they've already done business, similar square footage, room count, stuff like that, you're built, that they're obviously going to want to add to their portfolio. That's the beauty of using this wonderful set of 21 bank properties combined with the valuation data that's on investor comps. It makes doing real estate so much easier. It really, really does, as compared to what we used to do back in the day.
Right. Now, I'm going to stop you for a second here, because it sounds like this could be the time that you ask people for money. You know what I mean? Like, you're about to say, okay, now you're kind of getting going here, and you're saying, now this is where you need to spend, you know, $1,000 to get this list of 21 resources. So go ahead and tell me how much money you're going to make.
Well, actually, can I build this up a little bit?
You want to milk it? Can you get the vacuum cleaner going in the background?
Don't roll, please.
Yeah.
I know this list is so valuable to so many people. We just put it out there as a free white paper. We called it 21 Motivated Seller Leads, and it's on that URL. It's 21, the number 21, MotivatedSellerLeads.com. It is my joy to just give this away, because it's meant so much to me. They're free resources. Why would I charge for something that you can get free online anyway? I just want to put it where you know you have the best. I want to cut through the thousands of sites out there and get you to the 21 best ones that you know that you can. You'll hit blackjack on those 21 sites.
Sure. Yeah. So you. I do want to make sure though. Yeah, 21 is kind of a magic number there too, for blackjack. So to be clear, none of these are your resources. However, you and Investor Comps, we've aggregated all this into a much more user-friendly one-stop resource, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. I just found that, you know, over time, there were any number of different ones I would try, but let's say the website would go down, or maybe they didn't have enough properties. I mean, when I'm talking about tens of thousands of properties within these 21 motivated seller sites that you can go to. And again, I'm saying some of them: Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. There's one in the local Georgia area that's a great wholesaler. This Cheap House is a great site to go if you're in that market area. And there's a couple other ones I have in different states in there as well. But most of them are national, so that you can actually be successful. Mm-hmm. Whatever market area you're in, there's going to be some property for you to be successful. Capturing REOs, those real estate-owned properties held by the bank, that they absolutely have to sell. They're not looking to hold on to those things. They don't want to pay the property taxes on. They don't want to keep the grass cut and keep them safe and secure. And some of these are in nice subdivisions where there's a home association. The bank is not into paying and holding real estate. They're into financing real estate and certainly getting it off the books. Mm-hmm. So these are great places to go. And now of the 21, a number of people, you'll find that there's your favorites of the 21 that you go to on a regular basis. But the other ones are always there for you should you need to put a little spice in your real estate investing business. So I don't want you, it's not the intent that you use all of them. Use the ones that work best for you where you are so you can actually get that momentum going and keeping it going in your investing business.
Yeah, and it's valuable because they're all in one place. All right, so we only have a few minutes left here, but I want to, I want the people that desire it, I want them to have an action step from this podcast because we do want to provide information. But for those, let's just say that there's someone listening, Mark, and they are either brand new in real estate, never have done anything, they can't even spell REO. Or they've done a few things, but they're kind of stuck and want to get unstuck. We've just talked about this resource, and we'll provide links down in the show notes, and also we're going to give the URL again here at the end. But what would you recommend them do with this? Give them just some specific things to go in, get this resource, and then what do you want them to do? Give them some steps.
Right. So absolutely. So once you've grabbed and gotten your motivated white paper, okay, just start at the top of the list. Go to the first one there, log on. What you're going to find is you can actually go straight and put in your state, your county. You basically always want to look for at least a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. In some market areas like a Tampa, Sarasota, you can actually remarket a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house and wholesale that. So know your market areas, but 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. What you're going to find there is not only the address of the property and some data about it that you can actually use investor comps to look up and see how much that house is worth as compared to what it's listed for, but you'll also have the listing agent, their firm, that person's name, their phone number, usually their email, and maybe even a fax number. So you have the immediate means that once you evaluate that deal to see, is it overpriced? Is it underpriced? It actually had a discount, okay? You can immediately reach out, touch base with that agent, and make an offer on that property. That's exactly how you want to proceed. And you can do that from your iPad. You can do that from your tablet. You can do that while you're traveling on the road. You can do it certainly from your home office. Whatever the case may be, you have the full advent and capacity to utilize that list and start building your real estate investing business, or taking it to the next level if you've already got some momentum going.
Awesome. Okay, so you're moving them to making offers and getting on the line with the realtors and all, like very quickly. I mean, are we talking about should this take them, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks or 2, 3, 4 hours or 2, 3, 4... minutes.
We're talking minutes. This is about the easiest, fastest way that you could jump in and get your business going and going very, very quickly. Literally, it's just that easy. It really, really is. And I mean, I just can't say when we take away the hard work, okay, by providing a resource like this, it allows an individual, young, old, male, female, you know, whatever background you have, whatever the case may be, to jump into real estate and see just how successful you can be without any delays, any obstacles, nothing stopping you from doing it. I mean, and don't, you know, folks can always reach out to me if you have other questions about, you know, how you're going to make your offers or what contracts you use, stuff like that. We're always there to support you, give you some feedback, help you along that ways. But in terms of identifying a deal, we're talking literally minutes, and you can get your real estate investing business going, or again, expanding it.
Excellent. And also, when people go to 21 Motivated Seller Leads, there's opportunities there for them to find additional resources and things that could help them. I think there's some videos and trainings and things like that. However, all that we really want them to do here is I'm going to repeat this URL kind of slowly a few times. We're going to include it. It's the number 21, the number 21, and then motivatedsellerleads.com. No hyphens, no spaces, nothing. 21, motivatedsellerleads.com. You just go, you can read a little bit more about it. Probably going to ask for your email address so we can, you know, get it to you emailed and things like that. So So, and then I believe there's some additional videos and things that they're probably going to want to watch to get the training that you've talked about here, that they can get a little bit more in depth there. So I think this is a valuable resource. I wish I had had this a long time ago. I hope, number one, I hope that what we've done here by providing a little background is helpful. I believe it is. So kind of in closing, Mark, any other things you want to add on? And then after that, we'll sign off and let people go get this resource and get started.
Well, you know, Tim, the thing about it is this, and for everybody that's listening, you know, we all have to start somewhere, even for myself, this idea of becoming an appraiser, through appraising, becoming a real estate investor. And I did nothing but buy property to hold it. But when the fall of 2007 came, and all these properties, just to cherry pick from it, such great discounts, that's when I got into wholesaling, making that quick cash. Those, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 hits, sometimes, you know, three or four times a month, using Craigslist or Backpage to market the properties I had under contract and double close. And that same activity, that same process, that standard modus operandi, it still exists today. It hasn't changed. It's just that you can do it much, much simpler, much, much easier, and basically whatever market area you're in, using the 21 Motivated Seller Leads free white paper. So that's my wrap to bring things together. I encourage you, everybody that's listening to this, go ahead, take a shot. You can do it with your husband, your wife, your partner. You can teach your kids. Your kids may teach you. So just get out there and have some fun with it. This has been a wonderful way to take time to go back and give some history and then kind of bring forward how real estate actually functions today.
Yeah, one last thing, just if you're enjoying our podcast, we've been working hard at these for a number of months now, and we would just ask that you go rate it on whatever format you listen to your podcast. Rate it, give reviews. We welcome those. We would love those. And what that also does is it helps other people identify and find us. So we ask for that. And then also, if this has been valuable to you, we ask you to share it. Share it on social media. Share it via email with friends and family and other associates that might be interested. We would just like to ask that you do that now. And then, of course, your next action, I would hope, is to go to 21motivatedsellerleads.com. With that, thank you all. Thank you, Mark, for sharing. Well, I appreciate it. It's always fun for you and I to talk, and always a challenge for us to get it in under 30, 40 minutes or so when you and I get online together. So, and thank the young lady who was cleaning your hotel room. Thank her for participating also.
There you go. Nice challenge. Tim, God bless everybody. Take good care. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson. The place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.